Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hour number two rolls along here on a Bills game day Thursday. They're getting ready to play down in Houston against the Texans. We've got a few players that are out. Curtis Samuel, Mecole Hardman, Dalton Kincaid. Just one player questionable for Darian Mathis. And for more on today's matchup down in Houston, we go to the Western Hotline. Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, how we doing?
Pretty good. Good morning. Good morning from Houston. We're an hour behind, right? Only game this year the Bills play in a different time zone. It is 10:03 a.m. here.
I heard you say that to Shulton Bulldog yesterday, and it took me like a good like 5 minutes to like really wrap my head around that. I'm like, really? They didn't play in like no, they didn't play the Rams. No, they're not playing. Oh wow, that's right. It never hit me until you said that they've stuck to the Eastern time zone. Good for them. It's easy travel then.
Yeah, you know, it's something we actually talked about when the schedule came out, even knowing already what the schedule mm-hmm. was before it actually, you know, came out, which is the Bills coming into the year had a schedule that many people felt was conducive for winning, you know, against the teams, the opponents. You never know in year to year, but it also was because of the travel. Because when you have a lighter travel schedule, easier on your bodies, you know, that's better on players, it's better on coaches, all those kinds of things. So it wasn't, I think to me, it was an advantage for the Bills coming into the year to have that. And then you get the only non-Eastern time zone game mm-hmm. comes on a Thursday night, which, right. you know, it's not like you're playing, you know, Sunday at 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock, something like that. It is a bit of a challenge though, to travel a 2.5 to 3, it's a close to 3 hour flight on a Thursday night game on a short week. That is a challenge though.
Yeah, absolutely. For tonight, Sal, one thing I was talking a lot, I talk with a lot of callers, and I know the morning guys talked about this as well, the Cover One report from yesterday. And so on this short week, it's reported that Keon Coleman is going to be inactive for a second straight game. How much do you think the short week is going to potentially play into that? Again, we don't know anything for sure, but if that is the case, I have talked to a lot of callers, and even I'm kind of sitting here, you're like, yeah, performance maybe is playing into this, but also the short week could be playing a big factor into that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That's actually the way I thought of it coming out of the last game, to be quite honest mm-hmm. with you, Zach, which was even if Keon does everything he's supposed to do, even if he's on time for all the meetings, he is strong at practice, whatever, he just does everything he's supposed to do, and there's no disciplinary action or anything like that, considering how Tyrell Shavers played, considering how Gabe Davis played, considering what the offense did, and then you're playing again in 4 days, and you don't have a time in 4 days to put in like all this exotic stuff in a game right. plan. Like, you just kind of go out there and play. You might just want to run it back. So if indeed Keon Coleman is a healthy scratch tonight, I don't think it has to mean that Keon Coleman still isn't doing the things he isn't supposed to do. I think it could simply be the circumstance of the turnaround. Now, that said, certainly Keon Coleman didn't do himself any favors by what happened, and then having Tyrell Shavers and Gabe Davis go play the way they yeah. did, there is certainly an argument to be made that, well, we really don't really need you on the field right now with the way the offense is playing, and that becomes a different discussion. So I always felt it was a bit of a challenge for him to have this turnaround to be put on the field right away after what happened last week.
But now let's look at Tyrell Shavers. You know, the guy that I think has maybe benefited the most from this, has his best game as a Bill, you know, 4 for 90 and a touchdown. There's already maybe that connection between him and Allen, you know, him, you know, on the scramble drill going deep, and he gets the big touchdown there. he is another one of these stories for Bills fans, I think, of just a great worker. McDermott could not wait to sing his praises. He's earned his spot. He is a little bit older. I mean, 26. I'm 27. I'm not going to call him old. I'm not going to do that to myself. You know, 26, he's been here for a little while and then has that moment. I did have this thought process, though, Sal, because it is against the Houston Texans in Houston. He's not the first Bills receiver to be a hard worker, preseason guy, and then to pop off later in the year. Duke Williams, you know, in 2019 when the Bills went down there, he had 10 targets, and ultimately he's, I think, maybe a big reason why they ultimately go out and trade for Stephon Diggs. Not saying that Tyrell Shavers necessarily have to be the same guy, but this is also not the first time Bills and Bills fans have fallen in love with maybe that, you know, that grinder, practice squad wide receiver.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think the difference is, like, when Duke showed up, he came from the Canadian Football League. Just use him as an example, right? Mm-hmm. Comes to the CFL, and you're like, okay, like, this is a guy that can, I think, was that him? Was that him? Or Derek Rogers was also another guy. Remember him? Derek Rogers for a brief hot minute. Who else was Isaiah Hodgins? They drafted, yeah. And, you know, you felt that he could go into that role. I think Duke was CFL. Either way, the point I'm making is this has been a gradual ascend for Tyrell Shavers. Remember last year he's undrafted free agent. He's on the practice squad. Okay. You're kind of a forgotten man. Last year, he made enough plays in preseason where you're like, he might get a spot. I don't know. And when he was released, there were a lot of people who felt, wow, maybe he should have got a spot. We'll see. And then he's on the practice squad all year. And remember what happened at the end of the year? He gets a shot in the Jets game, 69-yard catch and run for a touchdown. Right. So that was like kind of the coming out, oh my God, here's Tyrell Shavers. And then there were a lot of people, give this guy more opportunity, give him more of a chance. Goes to this year's camp, and here we are again. And this time, he kind of put himself in the same position, even after an injury in camp. Let's remember that.
Right.
One of the things that stands out to me about Tyrell Shavers is he had a pretty bad-looking foot/ankle injury in camp. And it looked like, man, he's going to be out a while. This really sucks for him. He's not going to have a chance to make the team. He worked his tail off to get back. He got back within a week, if I remember right. And then he goes out there and he makes plays again. Then he goes to that Tampa game. And the Tampa game, the last preseason game of this preseason, Zach, remember he had that catch touchdown, did really well. And that was kind of what's probably sealed it for him. I think that game was okay. Like, you have to find a spot for this guy. And then all he's done since he's been on this team is really help out in two different phases, mostly on special teams, but now on offense. He kind of did become the Mac Hollins replacement.
Yeah, and like, you know, that's the thing too, and he's making plays, and I mean, we talked about it to start this week too, led all receivers in the NFL in their separation score, which take that for what you will, that's always kind of an up in the air stat, but that's something Bills fans have been screaming for. I think the Bills probably themselves have quietly been screaming for guys to get open. I'm so curious what his second act is going to be here. It's a short turnaround. It's against a really talented secondary. It can also be a bit of a dud. The Bills may not try to pass the ball a ton tonight against this defense, even with guys like Jalen Petrie being out. But there's also, of course, that maybe potential that he goes out there and even has a better, an encore act, if you will, against guys like Derek Stingley, who are inarguably one of the best corners in the sport.
It's going to be tough either way. I just don't know. There's no right way to attack the Texans' defense, I think. I think you go out there and you try to kind of have a balanced attack. You see what's working. And if you can maybe get something going in the run game, you stick with that. If there's something in the pass game you like, you stick with that. I don't think there's any one way to go out there and say, oh, we're going to attack this team and their metrics in this area are poor, so we attack them, because they're not. They're good in everything. I think about the Dolphins game, and it was the other way, right? Oh, yeah, just go out there and just give it to James Cook. He's running for 200 right. yards. No. Dolphins said, we're going to shut down James Cook and force you to beat us through the air. And then what happened? The Bills couldn't do that. They never got anything going in the passing game. You just never know when you go into a game. You could have a team that's super highly ranked or super low ranked in whatever categories and metrics, and the game just kind of goes different because the other team finds a way maybe to fix something, or you find a way to have some success. So I don't know what the one right way would be, or I don't think there is a right way. I think the Bills have to go out tonight and probably try to establish the run. And if they can start getting something going, that would really help. And the more important thing, though, to me would be to be balanced, because you cannot become a one-dimensional offense against this defense. They will pin their ears back and they will come after you, and they will be physical and aggressive. And remember last year, Josh Allen here in Houston his worst performance, maybe of his career, actually, right, overall, because that's what they did. They were able to start getting after him, and, you know, there were a lot of things that it wasn't like they were down large this whole game and they had to start throwing the ball all the time, but there was just nothing there, and he started pressing because this defense really can cause you a lot of problems with the way they play.
And, Sal, you know, it's maybe important to bring up for last year, Allen was barely sacked. He's the least sacked quarterback last year. He's already surpassed that number this year. The Bills have had problems against the blitz. It really might be a bad idea to try to go in there and it just make it a bit of a gun show. It's something I talked with a caller yesterday, you know, wanting to see them like get up on them 21-0. It's like, that's all fine and dandy. I don't disagree. I just don't know if this is the team to try to do that against.
Listen, I remember I heard that call. It was Jerry. And Jerry, everybody would like to go up 21-0 on any team or 21 points in the first half in any game. And then that's a pace of 42 points in a game. I mean, you just – how are you doing that against this team? If your expectation – if anybody thinks the Bills are going to go out there and, oh, just put the pedal to the gas and score three touchdowns in the first half. Sure, is it possible? Anything's possible. Mm-hmm. That's not a plan, though, against this team, I think. I think the plan that you have to have against this team is to be careful not to make mistakes, take your shots when available, but be calculated about it, right? Because if you do make a mistake against this team, they're going to make you pay. They're going to hit your quarterback. They're going to have – they have the top five, I believe, in takeaways and plus-minus turnover margin. They're 11th in sacks per pass attempt. Yeah, you just have to – here's a thing I think, too, Zach. I think this is a game where – if you get an opportunity, and last week the Bills were very good at kick returns, and maybe this is a game this week where you pop something off in a return game or you get something on defense maybe, right? That could be the swing in this game. And again, that's not a plan. You can't say a game plan is to score on defense. You'd love to do that every game. But this might be a game where the difference in the game might be a special teams or a defensive score.
Sal, I'm so glad you brought up the kick return because I was talking a little bit about Ray Davis in that first hour, and he's had a very quiet year, you know, the one touchdown against Atlanta notwithstanding. Last week, though, in the return game, it felt like any time he touched the ball, they were having a great moment. The one is Mecole Hardman's the fumble, but that also was the first time we had seen really all year this year, Sal, that they were actually able to get something going. I don't know if that's more due to Tampa or for the Bills, but you're right. Like if they can start getting that going, that played a huge role in how successful the offense was last year. Is their starting field position?
Yeah, it was way better last week. You know what's crazy, though, is – you know, we talked about this going into that game. The Bills had the second worst starting field position in the league going into last week. I haven't checked yet where they rank. I'm sure they moved up a little bit. But it's funny. They get those returns. They actually had really good field position all day. The average drive start for the Bills after kickoffs was their own 44, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And yet, despite the drive starts they had, all these great drive starts throughout the game, I think I looked at there was like any drive start beyond their 40 – I think they had three of them, including one in plus territory, yet all of them together, Zach, only added up to 3 points. They didn't convert. They didn't convert.
Yeah.
I mean, but it did matter to help flip the field. I mean, yes, I know Tampa still scored a lot of points, but at least it helped you not have to be punting from your own end. But you got to convert. If you're going to do that, you got to convert. And then tonight, I think, you know, big key, I wrote my three keys to the game. People can look at that at WGR550.com. One really big key tonight, the one area the Texans are not good on defense is red zone. They are one of the worst teams in the league in red zone defense. They're so good. Until you get inside the 20s, for some reason, they have not been very good. And the Bills are a good red zone offense. So the Bills have to be good in the red zone tonight and convert. When they get down there, they got to score touchdowns, not kick field goals. I know it sounds cliche. It's what people say in football all the time. But if you look at the numbers of the Texans, they give you opportunity. And on the flip side, the Bills have actually had been pretty good in their own red zone defensively. And again, they're going to have to come up with stops when the Texans with Davis Mills at quarterback get into the Bills red zone.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sal, I was on Houston's radio yesterday, 610, The Loop, and they had mentioned, too, one thing that I think they're very keyed in on with playing the Bills. It's scrambling quarterbacks, and that's something Bills fans I know have been very frustrated with the Bills, probably for the last few years, of talking about like lowering how much Allen runs. That seemed to come back a little bit against Tampa Bay, and I do wonder with this team now and kind of just needing to continue drives, get first downs, I do wonder if maybe some of the design runs for Allen are brought back just to try to keep these drives moving.
I wonder too. I mean, if you go back and look at last year, it was right around this time of year where Josh's carries started ticking up. Now, not all designed runs. There were some, you know, scrambles in there. But at in mid-November, if you go back and look, last year in mid-November is when Josh started running the ball more, and probably because he needed to, and it's critical time, and you got to start, you know, really thinking about how important these games are in these situations. So we'll see if that happens tonight. Again, it's a risk, you know, when he does that and getting hit and things like that, but he's been great about it. So I wonder too if that's the case. When they got in the red zone last week and they had Josh, you know, the tush push is one thing, the quarterback sneaks, mm-hmm. but you know, the one run obviously where he goes off to the right on the read and then he runs into the end zone, those are just really tough to stop. He might take a shot or two, and that's something you have to deal with, but you know, if that's your best offensive play, then that's what you have to do.
Sal Capaccio here on the Wester Hotline down in Houston to get ready for Bills at Texans tonight, 8:15 kickoff. We'll be on Amazon Prime, but if you're here locally in the Buffalo TV, you know, range, it's going to be on Channel 7. Sal, one thing you brought up with Showman the Bulldog yesterday, because you know, talking with Keon Coleman and potentially being down, it's also that he doesn't really fit the roles of the two receivers that are down, being Curtis Samuel and McCall Hardman. And one name to really point to is Elijah Moore, could be brought up. He was not active last week. And you also mentioned, too, because of a guy like Jalen Petrie being out for this game, that maybe Moore could play a bit of a role with, I believe it's Miles Bryant, has been kind of overtaking Petrie's role these last, well, now going to be three games.
You know, Miles Bryant's the guy that Isaiah McKenzie had a lot of success against when Bryant was in New England a few years ago. I'm sure a lot of people remember that game. We call that the Isaiah McKenzie game, maybe. Mm-hmm. There's a couple Isaiah McKenzie games. There was the COVID game against the Dolphins, too, at the end of the year, where he was amazing at three touchdowns. But against the Patriots that year, the Bills did a great job of getting that matchup. And it's a totally different team. It's a totally different defense, of course. You know, you're not going to have – it's not going to be one for one, apples to apples. But if you can find a way maybe to match up a guy like Elijah Moore on Miles Bryant, maybe that's an area where the Bills can have success. But Khalil Shakir too, right? I mean, Khalil Shakir is an excellent wide receiver. You just wonder about his ankle and his ribs. He missed all practice this week due to the birth of his first child. But he'll play tonight presumably, and he'll know the game plan, and he'll be able to, you know, fit right in seamlessly. But maybe that's an area where the Bills can find some success. So if that is the area they find success, that's what? That's maybe 5, 6, 10 yards downfield, right? It's not taking shots all the way down the field. It's, you know, middle of the field controlling it. They're going to miss Dalton Kincaid tonight. You know, that's obviously a miss anyway, when you miss him, I should say. But they're going to miss him tonight because one of the areas where the Texans also aren't the best at is coverage from their linebackers. So if the Bills can find a matchup with their linebackers, and then Petrie as well, where they can try and, you know, manipulate that a little bit, that might be an area where they can get success.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, speaking of Khalil Shakir, I'm on the Houston Texans website just to have their injury report as well, but they have the Bills, and you know, they've got most of the injury report correct. McCall Hardman out, Dalton Kincaid out, Curtis Samuel out, Fedarian Mathis questionable. They also do have Khalil Shakir listed out because he did not practice, I think, all week due to the personal reason. I thought it was just funny because I'm looking at this, I refresh it, I'm like, oh, well, that might be a surprise for some of their fans, is to see Khalil Shakir is, in fact, playing for the Bills, or at least I haven't heard anything, Sal. I don't know if you've heard anything, but at least on their website, they do have him as listed out. So I thought that was a little bit of a funny note.
Oh, the Texans do?
The Texans do, yeah.
Yeah, that's wrong. That's exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's wrong. I don't know why. I guess maybe because he was listed as non-participant. But
Tony, though,
nothing that I know of says he's out. And the Bills official, Bills official injury report doesn't have that either. And I wouldn't imagine that he would be out.
Mm-hmm. Sal Capaccio here for just a few more minutes. We're getting ready for kickoff at 8:15. We've got a little while, though. We got to pace ourselves, Sal. I mean, I've got one energy drink right now. We're probably going to be on two. I'm going to pace myself, though. I don't want to go too aggressive on that. One thing, though, before we go, you know, we haven't talked a ton about the Houston Texans offense. I think in part because it's Davis Mills at quarterback, but you've mentioned a lot this week. He's throwing the ball a lot. They are trusting him to throw the ball. And especially the guy like Nico Collins, who was a full participant for much of this week. I think he was limited to start, but ended up being full in his no game day designation. Again, I mean, I think it's going to be another test for what I believe is a very much improving secondary for the Bills.
Yeah, I agree. Nico Collins is the guy. They're going to throw to him a lot tonight. He has, since Davis Mills has become the starter, 16 catches for 192 yards over the last two games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you go back there, he had another 7 catches the week before that, so like 23 catches. It's crazy. Like, this guy is just, like, they're just throwing the ball throwing the ball. He's the guy. They're going to throw him in every situation. It doesn't matter. But especially on third downs, when Davis Mills needs a play, when he needs a first down, he's going to look to Nico Collins. The Bills have to be aware of this. I'm sure they are. And they have to have a plan to defend it. I don't know if that means double team, shading, maybe following him with Christian Benford or Max Harrison, whatever it is. They got to have a plan for Nico Collins, because they have the philosophy has to be tonight. Make someone else beat you. Make someone other than Nico Collins beat you in the passing game. Dalton Schultz is a good player. But if I'm going to choose between, you know, Nico Collins having a night or Dalton Schultz, I'm going to say Dalton Schultz can have a night. I'm not going to have Nico Collins beat me, but he's a fantastic player. It just reminds me of the night they played in Atlanta, and it was just Drake London after Drake London all over the place, right? And that's what the Texans are going to do tonight. Now, for the Bills, you're right, improving secondary. I think we've all seen the ascension of Cole Bishop. Last year here in Houston is the play where he got beat by Nico Collins over the top, and I'm sure a lot of Bills fans remember that. Wasn't quite ready to be in the role that he's in right now, but now he's playing that role really, really well. Jordan Poyer's helped him out a lot. I'd like to see Jordan Hancock on the field a little bit more. I think it just adds a little bit more speed. But at the same time, you know, the Bills might play a more base defense tonight too, because this is a team in the Texans that will probably want to establish the run game like other teams have against the Bills. They don't have a great run game, but they're going to want to run the ball because everybody seems to run the ball against the Bills. Yeah. So how do you combat that? Maybe you put Shaq Thompson on the field, Dorian Williams. We'll see about Shaq's status. He was full all week. No injury designation. That was the case last week. He didn't play. But, you know, the Bills might, the Texans might say, we're going to run the ball, and the Bills, you know, run it base defense on first and second down, and then force David Mills into third and long situations.
I'm very curious, concerned, you know, however you want to put it, I guess, with this is just the Texans are not a good run offense. We've both talked to multiple people in Houston. They're all kind of saying the same thing of like, it may not go well. They may try, but it may not go well. I just wonder where we're all sitting. Even if, let's say, the Bills win, Sal, and it looks a lot like maybe Tampa Bay, but if Woody Marks like has a day and he's just able to go off, we're late enough in the season, they can't really make a ton of changes. Is that run defense going to be this team's Achilles heel?
I mean, it has been so far, right? So, you know, we'll see. The thing about tonight is they have 6 available defensive tackles. I do wonder what the active and inactive list looks like. Now, it might be a stretch to expect Fedarian Mathis to be ready to play. So if you count him as an inactive, you're still down to 5. Who's the other inactive if you have one? Or are they all active, right? But going forward, if they have 6 healthy defensive tackles, you do wonder what that looks like. And they're going to have to find the right combination to try and, you know, stop teams from running the football.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Sal. I mean, you got a while now to the game. So any plans today in Houston or just kind of hanging out?
Not as much as you think. It's 11:30 there, yeah. So around, I think at 4 o'clock your time, 3 my time, that's when my bus will leave to go to the game.
Okay.
So we still got a few hours here. Yesterday, I took a nice walk when I was on with Shelton Bulldog. You heard me say I was walking. Mm-hmm. It was 83 degrees. Took a nice walk. There was a shopping center. It was a good, 20-minute walk. Might do that today a little bit. There's a pool right behind me. I just like to clear my head a little bit. You know, get a long night tonight, flight back, early morning tomorrow. So today's a day that I'll probably just kind of be relaxing, clear the head a little bit, get ready for the game, and then head over to the stadium and around.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
4 p.m. Eastern.
Sounds good. All right, man. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, you too. Thanks.
Sal Capaccio there down in Houston on the Wester Hotline. We'll take a quick time out here, 803-0550. We're freed up the rest of the way. We're talking a lot about Keon Coleman and the potential that he is going to be inactive for a second straight game. How do we feel about that? How do you feel overall about tonight's matchup? We'll also read some tweets when we come back. Zach Jones along with you here until 12 o'clock here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones here on a game day Thursday, getting ready for the Bills to take on the Houston Texans down in Houston. Playing a backup quarterback, Davis Mills. Davis Mills, the quarterback I saw play in the last time I will go to Highmark Stadium. I know that pretty much for sure. I work the games. I'm not going back to Highmark Stadium this year. It is what it is. It's like 3 years ago, 2 years ago, whatever it was, the monsoon game when Houston came here and Buffalo just absolutely whooped on him. It was Dawson Knox's big year. I remember that. They were a bad team then. Houston, I mean.
That would be 2021. Dable was still the coordinator that year,
right? I think it
was 22. Right? 22, something like that.
But I remember, Houston's a bad team. That's why it just rattled me. I'm like, they haven't won in Houston since 06. They've played some bad Houston teams. They've just been in Buffalo.
Yeah, yeah. Was that the same year as the perfect game in the playoffs?
No, I think that's it's the next year, I think.
So would that be Knox's big year? Or I feel like the year before was Knox's big year. You know what I'm saying?
I got to look at this. I got to look.
Because Knox gets the contract after the big season, but then the Bills draft Kincaid.
Oh, is this in 21?
I want to say
this
it was
is in
2021.
It's in 21, yeah.
Yeah, because if it's Knox's big year,
right.
It's 21.
Yeah, it's 21. I thought it was 22. 22 is the Rams' opener. 21,
yes.
They start 4-2. They lose to Tennessee and Kansas City back-to-back, which, by the way, yeah, it follows the Houston game where they win 40-0. That's the game I went to.
That game was huge. I remember that game. I was actually there. I was at that game.
Oh, were you?
I was up in the 300s getting poured on with a poncho the entire time.
That's exactly where I was, too. That's exactly where I was, too. Yep. I had actually just started working, within the company, and I wasn't here on GR. I was over at our sister station, WBEN, on the weekends.
Exactly, yeah.
And I was working Sundays, but Sunday nights. And so I went to that game, got soaked, drenched, and then had to come here.
Yeah.
And then work for a few hours until 11 o'clock at night. And I was like, oof, this is a decision.
Not a great vibe, not a great feeling.
No.
Aside from them winning, I was also at the Colts game where they got murdered up there.
Oh, when Jonathan Taylor,
right? That was also a raining game. Like, we were getting soaked the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the 2021, what a year for the team.
What a year. It got real bad, and then got real good, and then got real bad again.
The Bucs were the turning point. Yeah, they lost that game to Tom Brady in overtime, but from there on out, that was that.
They did have that in multiple seasons because then filling overtime was arguably the
every odd season. 21, 23, 25.
Crazy.
And then 22 and 24 were just like dominant in 2020.
That's right. That's weird.
Isn't that odd?
It's very weird.
History repeats itself. And for the Bills, it's every other year. So
I wish they could be like the San Francisco Giants, though. Like, odd year, they win the World Series.
Right.
Even year, they don't make the playoffs. It's like, but I'll take the World Series, though.
Hey, we might have some luck on our side. With the Blue Jays losing the World Series, I hate to say that on the airwaves, but when they've won in the same year the Bills have gone to the Super Bowl, the Bills have lost. So, hey, let's take what we can out of that.
You know, I still sit here with the AFC. I don't think it's a particularly strong conference compared to years past, like we're saying, like where it was juggernaut teams where you're just like, yeah. San Francisco is basically the only good team in the NFC. Everyone good is in the AFC. We've kind of flipped a little bit now. And
yeah, you have the Rams in the NFC now really showing out
Eagles,
again.
Detroit, Eagles, Detroit, Tampa if you want them
the
when
Eagles
they're healthy.
The Eagles are so weird. Do we call them a good team?
I want to say they're very talented and very flawed. Like, that's where I'm at with them. Hmm. I know they're talented. I know they're good. They're also deeply flawed.
This Eagles-Cowboys game this week is going to be a little interesting after what happened in week one.
I know. And then you know what else is going to be interesting? Joe Burrow might be back at quarterback.
Dan Orlovsky was talking about it yesterday, and then Zach Taylor today said something about it.
He was a full participant yesterday. I didn't see Zach Taylor's comments, but they're not going to have Jamar Chase. They will still have T. Higgins, and they're going up against New England.
Mm-hmm.
Win tonight, we're all going to be locked in on that 1 p.m. game on Sunday.
I'm glad it's a 1 p.m. game, too.
What's going on here? Hopefully we have it here locally. I have no idea if we're going to have it locally.
I don't
we should. It's going to be a big division game. if New England could drop one. I agree with everyone that says that. The feeling around the team is, I think, much more negative than the record shows.
Yeah, we're not 6-6 like they were 2 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
But no. I think it's because New England beat you at home, and now they're ahead of you in the division, and the feeling is, where are they going to drop games?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if I told you this or not. I did put a wager on the Bills winning the AFC East.
Did you?
Yep.
Good for you.
And I did that 2 years ago when they were 6-6, and they ended up running the table and winning. So, got to bring the same vibe back again. So, you got gusto.
You got gusto. I've seen some of your long parlays where I'm like, dog, you had time on your hands, and or you're just like,
Let's see what happens. I don't know. I legitimately look at the Patriots' schedule, though. Baltimore, that's I think they lose that game. And I'm a proponent for the Giants could surprise you. I think they surprised the Eagles earlier this year. Could Jackson Dart?
Maybe.
Week 18, Miami? Oh, you think you're going to win the division?
Oh, with everything on the line? I remember that was Brady's house of horrors a lot of the time was at Miami. He had a tough time there. Although it is home at Miami.
It's home in versus 18. Miami. But still, wouldn't that be a Mike McDaniel thing to do? Like, nah, you know what? You can't have the division yet.
Give it back to the Bills.
Yeah. Yeah. Not even worried about the Bills, probably. Just be like, you're not going to be the next team.
Yeah, you're not going to be the ones.
No.
I don't like having to play them off a bye week. That's going to suck. I'm not going to love that at all. Vrabel is a very good coach.
Yeah. And he's not an X's and O guy, which is something that.
He doesn't feel like an X's and O's guy. Like he's
a vibe guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to bring in a culture. It's going to be amazing.
Well, he's hugging everybody, waiting for everybody to get into the locker room after the game, even if they're doing interviews and stuff. He waits until the last person's in there. Like,
the worst thing the Titans did was fire him.
Well, that's the same. Okay.
Like, or trade AJ Brown.
Yeah. That might be up there. I don't know. I don't
1A, 1B. That's fine.
Yeah. But it's the same conversation of the Bills culture before McDermott kind of rolled around and changed how things operated on the inside, right? Vrabel just did the same thing with the Patriots because it was Belichick, and then Gerard Mayo tried as a Walmart Belichick, right? A budget Belichick,
which is weird because his whole thing was like, "I'm not Bill. I'm not going to be Bill." And I loved his first press conference about
that. He didn't run the team well whatsoever. It was a little out of spite, but Joe Milton balled out in the last game. I think you know what I mean. Letting that happen, but they've moved in such a better direction, and all offseason. I was worried, and Derek Kramer and I talked about it a lot. I was very nervous. I said, the Patriots are going to win 11+.
Oh, yeah, because the schedule pointed to Drake May showed enough as a quarterback, and
he gave the Bills a run for their money in the one real matchup they had last year.
Yeah.
And that was a scary game all of a sudden. And I'm like, okay, the Patriots are knocking on the door again, and here they are. They kicked it in, and they're sitting in the Barca Lounger in the middle of your living room right now, and you're just waiting to – you got to take the house back from the squatter, you know what I mean?
You got to do it. That's such a good way to put it. Yeah, they're squatting right now. Joe Burrow, we'll see if he plays on Sunday. Got to win tonight, though, at Houston. 803-0550, the number to call. I did promise when we went to break, and Jaeger has been very patient today, so Jaeger joins the show now. How we doing, man?
Not too bad, guys. How are you?
Doing very well.
Hey, so just one comment on the James Hardy, Keon Coleman saga, and then I have an observation for you, too. That was a little joke that I inserted for Bills fans. I don't blame Brandon Bean on that, per se. It would have been nice to have him for a first and a third, but to give up a first and a third in the same year when we're going to need a linebacker, you can always use a quarterback, you can always use a safety, you can, D-end. We have a lot of holes to fill. To get rid of those two big picks, to take on a guy who might ball out this year with Josh Allen, but then what happens next year? Does he hold out for a contract? We are on limited space as it is. I mean, you could give him a contract backloaded, but then you're kicking a can and you're really hampering yourself, and you have holes. Like, we need a linebacker. We could always use another safety, a cornerback. So I don't blame him on that. If we could have gotten at least the third for 2027, that would have been different, but I don't blame him on that part. My observation is this. The last game we played, one of the things I think we really excelled at that we weren't doing, and Chris Collins would call this out in week one, when we were under center, we're like an 85% run team. There was a lot of first down play action under center last week.
Yes, there was. Yes.
And I thought that was huge. And the only thing I'd question Josh Allen is doing, if you're under center, he puts his hands behind his back and he tells Cook which way to run. Well, now you're kind of tipping your pitches. So you were running under center on first down with play action and you were fooling the team. But if you're going to put your hands behind your back, that was almost like a 95% chance of it being a run. So I'd like to see him maybe not do that, but I thought running play action on first down under center was a key that I hope they do again this week. I just want to hear what you guys think about that.
Jaeger, I love that you brought that up. That's something the Bills have always been very good with play action under Josh Allen, at least since his ascension. I shouldn't say always. His first 2 years passing was always a struggle. But since his ascension in 2020, they've been a very, very good team in play action. If I remember right, it was maybe like 2 years ago, there was a report that Allen didn't like turning his back to the defense in play action. So like he didn't want to always do that, but they were so successful at it. I'm with you. I hope they do more of that. I've also thought the Bills have maybe tipped their pitches a few times this year with personnel usage, right? When James Cook came in, it was, they're going to run the ball. Ty Johnson's going to be a pass. That's why it was so imperative, I thought, that they also got the running backs involved in the passing game. You know, James Cook finally, you know, he's had a great year running the ball, but he finally was used more in the passing game, as was Ty Johnson. And I think it just gives a little bit more of an element that teams have to worry about, you know, a little bit extra bit. I mentioned that a ton with the deep ball receiver, the speed guy, the one that can stretch the field. Allen himself brought it up of just the idea of when they went to Mecole Hardman play, you'd love to convert it, but it's the idea. You know, really like maybe 25-30% of it is the idea that we can do that. You have to worry about that. I've mentioned that with Xavier Worthy, and I do agree with people on this that, you know, if we're really going to, you know, compare Worthy and Coleman, Worthy, I think, threatens defenses more. You know, Coleman may have more yards or what have you, but I think he stresses defenses out more with the idea that he, at any given moment, boom, and he's running past your corner and you've got a real problem on your hands. It's not the most efficient play in the world, but it stretches the defense out. It allows you to go underneath, which I think is what the Bills want to do. And you saw that with Mecole Hardman and Curtis Samuel and Tyrell Shavers. They were able to go down the field and really test the defense. I hope they start to bring in a lot more of the stuff. And now in the second half of the year, I think they definitely can. And, you know, you also bring up the draft stuff too. I think it's a totally fair argument. I think that's a totally fair argument. It's going to frustrate me, but I'm a draft junkie. I'm all for the picks. I'm usually more on, and I know Mike Schoep brings this up a lot too, of like the more picks, the better. I'm usually along those lines unless it's like a clear-cut stud. I'm really only in the appetite to trade up for like two positions, maybe a third, and it really is quarterbacks, edge rushers, and a quote-unquote can't-miss offensive lineman. Like that's really kind of it, and more tackle. And that's really about it. Like everyone else, you can kind of sit there and maybe get a really good player. Safety is famous for this. If you don't need to take a safety in the first round, you can get a starting safety in the third or fourth round their rookie year, and you're happy as can be. I will say, though, nationally, draft people seem to be way more upset at the Dolphins than they were the Bills for the Dolphins not accepting the 2027 first-round pick. Because that draft class is considered to be, you know, otherworldly. Now, it's so early. We're not even at 26 yet. So, like, what does this actually mean, right? I've talked about it a lot. This college quarterback class has done a complete 180. It went from, like, yeah, you're waiting for 26 to now Fernando Mendoza might be the only good one. And even then, we're all kind of shaky on it. He might even be the only guy that leaves. Both Ty Simpson and Dante Moore might stay at Alabama and Oregon, respectively. But I saw a lot of people, Brett Coleman was one of them as well, that were more frustrated by Miami of just not admitting we're going to a full rebuild. Gather as much draft capital as you can. Build a war chest while you can because you're going to be restarting. Instead, they maybe got picky on the years they wanted. You know, the Jets, 26, it's great for them. They got two firsts and 2 seconds. 27 is the real crown jewel. They got 3 first-round picks in that class. And if it really is as good as a lot of people are saying, oh boy, I mean that – it's got to work eventually, right, for the Jets. I don't want it to as a Bills fan, but it's got to work eventually for one of them or Cleveland. They gather so many first-round picks, and it doesn't lead to anything. Eventually, it's got to work. 803-0550, the number to call. Quick timeout here, 12 o'clock, Sabres Live. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back, everyone. We're wrapping up today's show, getting ready for Bills and Texans tonight at 8:15, Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime. If you're not within the Buffalo TV market, if you are, though, it'll be on Channel 7, so don't worry. And, of course, right here on WGR, home of the Buffalo Bills. Did tweet out today just kind of an idea of, you know, vibe check. Where's everyone at? I've kind of sensed a little bit of nervousness, at least definitely from me and from some other fans as well. They're going up against a very good defense. They have laid an egg against a number of quote-unquote bad teams this year, Miami and Atlanta. And so just want to go through some of those here. Brandon tweets in, I sense an...
At
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Offensive struggle again. I would agree with that. I do wonder, though. I mean, if they win this game 20-10, I'm not going to complain, I think, all that much. I don't think I'm going to come in next week going, oh, no, it's all disaster because of the defense they're playing. I expect a 20-24-point performance from the Bills. If they're able to go 30-plus, I might be singing their praises maybe more than I should against a team like Houston, but it is because of the unit they're going up against. If they're able to look almost identical to what they did against Tampa Bay or Kansas City or Carolina, I think it's a hell of a performance by this team. And it probably also signals that a guy like Tyrell Shavers had another really good game. James Cook maybe was able to get off and really start to lean into what has been a great season for him. I think also, by the way, he's 33 yards. James Cook, I believe, away from 1,000 this year. So hopefully he gets that tonight. But yeah, I think it's going to be an offensive struggle. I think, though, realistically, that should be somewhat expected based off the opponent they're going up against. Bills fan in Birdland, I assume that's Philadelphia, stressed as always. Yeah, I can understand that one. I can fully understand that. It just, as the Bills have gotten better and they've now hit to this, you know, last 5-year period where they're just, you're kind of expected to win, there is also kind of the changed expectations for all of us and how we treat them. You know, during the drought, it was just kind of a thing we all did. We almost expected them to lose. If they won, great. If they lost, okay. I'm going to be a little annoyed, but I'll move on with my life. It has changed a little bit. Now, going up against our lesser opponent, your 6-point favorite, got to get done. Got to get it done. And then last one, Chad tweets in, better than I did going into Texas, Georgia. Still not great. Boy, could I not agree more. Hated every second of that game. I think someone needs to have the courage in college football to ban onside kicks after you score a touchdown. But it's neither here nor there. I did not feel good about that game at all. I feel much better about tonight. I'd say I'm closer to great. They are going up against a backup quarterback. I feel like they've got to get it done. Got to get it done. Because the schedule points to, okay, you can go on a bit of a run here. At Houston tonight, at Pittsburgh, you'll have 10 days to get ready for that team. Cincinnati, then it's at the Patriots. Potentially 4 first place in the division. We'll see what New England does for the next few weeks. At Cleveland, they can't play offensive football. Philadelphia and the Jets to round out the schedule. There is a window there where they can go 14-3, take care of business tonight, and you'll still be in the race for the 1 seed for the AFC East. But it starts tonight, taking care of business. And then one other tweet as well. We were talking a little bit about Tyrell Shavers to start the show and kind of where he's, you know, really developed. And is he more like a Duke Williams, or is he really kind of ascending? And Jam tweets in, Stevie Johnson and him have the same type of vibes, in my opinion. Not the same receiver by any stretch of the imagination. Stevie Johnson was not a necessarily big guy, a wonderful route runner and a true kind of wizard at his position, a true tactician. Shavers is much more of like the athlete and what have you, and bigger guy. But yeah, I think that's maybe the high end. I think that's what you're hoping and dreaming of. Not saying it's not going to happen, but I think that is absolutely the dream. That is going to do it for me today. pregame coming up at 3 o'clock with Shobin the Bulldog. But coming up after a quick timeout, more on the Sabres. Sabres Live, that's on the way next. This is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.